Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon, live from Gillette down here in the bowels, although you can't really call them bowels anymore in this studio. This place is unbelievable in here. Tremendous job by Matt Morrell, who built it all himself, as he told everybody when we walked right in.
This place is
incredible where we are right now. I remember it was just a desk with a bunch of schmoes sitting around the desk. It's still a desk, but a much nicer desk. And someone actually vacuumed in here, which is nice to see.
Beautiful.
As well.
Feel like I'm on TV.
I sort of feel like
Sports
that, too.
Sports Center's next.
That's right. And if you're watching on Twitch, then we kind of are on TV.
Oh, yeah,
and this seems appropriate. This does, because this seems like a significant day. A very significant day maybe in Patriots history. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. But already you can say that this team has defied the odds. No one expected him to win that game yesterday. I certainly didn't. You certainly didn't. Andy Hart, the only person I know who for sure did was Stiz. Stiz had him in the knockout pool. He's the only one I know that actually put his money where his mouth was.
That's right.
So props to you, Stiz. Bravo,
sir. Thank you, thank you.
You live another day, which you can't say that for a lot of other people in this knockout pool, but you certainly do, and you did it because you picked the Patriots, and the Patriots believed in themselves. They were able to go out there, play a smart game, play a very tough defensive game. Offensively, they took what they could get and came away with a victory on the road to start the Gerard Mayo era here in New England.
No question. And I thought they not only displayed some of the things we thought, maybe hoped would be strengths, but also minimized some of the things us media idiots down at training camp were bitching about, right? Like, those things still happened. We still watched those practices. Mm-hmm. We still saw some struggles in various aspects of the team. And even big picture, my first takeaway would be, those of us that may have wondered about the way Gerard Mayo handled camp from start to finish, handled practices, the length of practices, all the one-hour lead-ups to practice that were like form running and conditioning and all this stuff, and it was like, when are you guys going to get to the football part of things? Well, guess what? Whatever he did worked, because he had a football team that I firmly believe the reason they won, we can get to plays and turnovers and run game and all this, tackling.
Yeah,
it sounds stupid. It's very Belichickian. Remember when people used to ask, what do you write on that little piece of paper with the, and sometimes he said tackling.
Right.
Like he would remind himself there. Tackling was atrocious for was atrocious for Cincinnati and was a massive strength for the Patriots. And you don't often see that. I think atrocious tackling is more the norm in week one in the National Football League, coming off of training camps and guys that didn't play in preseason games and all those things. Now, the Patriots starters played more in the preseason games. They did tackling drills at various points to the ground in practice. And I have to credit first and foremost Gerard Mayo for that. His team was the more physical tackling team in a sport that, as much as we describe it in other ways and as much as maybe it's going towards flag football, tackling still matters, and I believe that's why they won the game.
It was a huge aspect of it. I agree. I thought defensively they just were on a different level than the Bengals were. I thought the Bengals got pushed around, and tackling is one certainly that I think stood out. The other's conditioning, and that's something that Gerard Mayo talked about. He talked about it leading into the game, a bunch of interviews with Hillman in his press conferences. He talked about conditioning and guys being out there, and if you're healthy, you got to be out there, and you got to be ready to go. The end of that game, that last drive, they were pushing them back and getting whatever they wanted with the run game. And you saw that also in the Detroit game, in the Detroit-LA game later that night. Another example of conditioning and overtime right there. The Lions were pushing the Rams around because they were in better condition. You could tell.
And what do those teams have in common?
What do they have in common?
Hard O ex-player head coaches.
True. That's true. They do have that. Yeah.
We're not going to pussyfoot through things like the modern Brendan Staley when he was out in San Diego or L.A., both, that, oh, we don't play our players, and we don't hit, and we don't do this. You got a tight end and an inside linebacker leading teams who I think still believe this is a contact sport. This is a bit of a barbaric sport, that it still matters if you can hit the other person, not on the first play, but on play 55, 56, 57. And you're right. It mattered. The Patriots moved the ball, and I think there was a little sort of cock of the walk to Gerard Mayo about everybody in the stadium knew we had to run the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And we ran
the
ball.
How many times did you say that this morning?
Yeah. Like, he was feeling himself a little bit there. And, but he also balanced it out, I thought, with it's one game.
Yep.
If we go 1-16, I'm a failure. This team's a failure. What we did in August won't matter. But there's definitely an old school vibe to that. And we had talked about Mayo in this transition. Is he new school? Is he too player-friendly. I think there is still an aspect of, dude was an all-pro middle linebacker who hit people for a living and still believes football is about hitting people for a living.
Yeah, you could tell that there was certainly, as far as the relationship between him and the players go, that's real.
The Gatorade
bath. I mean,
that's
a real thing. That Gatorade bath, I think, was a statement to him and maybe to the old regime a little bit, too, about, you know, this is where we are right now, and this is how we're celebrating win number one. Like that, I don't think you can fake that, you know? I remember, who was the guy that coached the Lions? He made the players carry him off after they beat his old team, after they beat Buffalo. Jim Schwartz, I think. Do you remember that?
Okay, yeah,
when
yeah.
they had him, he's like, you guys carry me off like we just beat my old team. Or it was the other way around, maybe. Like that, and you could tell it was fake. Like, that wasn't fake last night. You could tell, or yesterday. That was a real thing. Those players do. I mean, I sort of mocked it, you know, we love Jerod Mayo, run through a wall for Jerod Mayo. Well, yeah, you guys all just got big contract extensions. I'm sure you're all feeling great. That looked real last night. I don't think you could fake that.
Yeah, I think they enjoyed everything that went into yesterday, honestly. As much as Devon Godshaw's questioning the spread and being a big underdog, I think they enjoyed that nobody, you know, us against the world.
Right.
Nobody thinks we can do it. We're going into the jungle of Cincinnati against Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and blah, 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 blah,
blah. That plays in New England, I'll tell you.
It does.
You know, that plays here.
And some of these
guys. It's been
guys,
a while, but that does play here.
Right. And some of these guys have lived that in various forms. And I think some guys, it comes naturally.
Yep.
It came naturally to the Rodney Harrisons and the Willie McGinnis and the Teddy Bruschis of the past generation. I don't think it's hard to get Jabril Peppers frothing at the mouth. I think that plays into his mentality when you tell him, you guys aren't good enough. You guys actually aren't very good at all. You kind of stink. You're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, they don't even have to practice. They haven't been on the same field together. They're still going to smoke you.
I don't remember saying that. I think
that doesn't sound like that.
Me.
That's what they hear more, whether you
said
it or
worse
not.
Than that.
Yeah, we all did.
We all did. I mean,
Nobody expect. There's
we all
a
have
reason.
Egg on our face today. 100%.
I saw the numbers various places. It was like 30-something percent, 40% of knockout pools. People were out because they had taken the Bengals.
Yep.
It was the biggest spread of the week. It was. I saw some other number. It was one of the biggest week one upsets spread-wise in like a decade.
Really?
Yes.
Like, not surprised.
And they earned it.
Yeah.
Do I think the Bengals were a willing victim? Absolutely. The Bengals contributed greatly to their own demise. But I'm going to go back to, and I said this to Fitzy on the postgame show, after the Red Sox were done, after we waited and waited and waited, and then finally got to talk about the biggest Patriots win in who knows how long.
Well, you got to get over the loss to the worst team ever
first. That was awesome.
Which I'm sure a lot of people were really hanging on every pitch of that one.
The skipper says to win the series, and they kind of won the series, but they kind of didn't because they didn't.
Didn't feel like a win.
Didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
But when we get on to talk about it, it was – Bill Belichick says what? Before you can win, you have to not lose.
Right.
The Bengals couldn't get past that part. They did the lose part. They allowed themselves to lose, and they allowed the Patriots to take it from them. And I think they got a lot of issues down there. Not that we're doing Bengals talk, but there was times I saw Joe Burrow doing the flex and the this and the that.
Absolutely.
If I'm a Bengals fan, what the hell is that, and why is he doing it?
Yeah, I noticed that as well. We'll see what goes on with him, what goes on with Jamar Chase, who had an illness, whatever. I don't have a contract.
And got a penalty for sulking on the field.
Yeah.
Literally, he was sulking on the field, so there were 12 guys on the field.
That was interesting. They don't seem like, and they're notoriously a slow-starting team, but they don't seem like they've got their act together at all. And the Patriots really did. They seemed like they had whatever they were trying to install was there. It had been practiced. They were ready for it. And they also had some very nice situational football plays, certainly on that drive where the Bengals almost scored twice and the Patriots defense were able to turn those both into, well, one was an incompletion, the other was a turnover, and then the interception in the end zone with Hunter Henry. I thought all of those plays really pointed to a team that was prepared, a team that was well-coached, prepared, and ready for the unknown, which is what you remember about the great Bill Belichick team.
Timely plays, key plays, gotta-have-it plays, game-changing plays, however you want to describe them. There may be no play bigger than the Hunter Henry play.
Yeah.
Breaking, that's a pass defense. The ball was caught by the Bengals cornerback, and he broke it up. And then if there was a bigger play, it was Hudson, the jackal of a tight end, doing Deion Sanders stuff.
And what was that?
I have no idea. If I were Joe Burrow and I saw that, he said, I didn't have to say anything to him. He knows what he did. Yeah, he knows what he did. He lost the game for you guys, but give the Patriots credit. When you give them that opportunity, they take it.
Yep.
They don't waste it. And even Jacoby Brissett, who we'll talk to at 3 o'clock, and his coach was kind of making fun of him for it, but Guy was running when he needed to and picking up first downs and making plays with his legs. After all we talked about all summer is, like, he can't do that. No, he's a big stiff in the pocket, game manager. No, no. He made plays with his legs when it was given to him.
Yeah, and it was given to him a good amount and not even always given to him. Sometimes the pocket just collapsed and he was out of there and he read the blitz well. He read the pressure. Things that I'm not necessarily sure Drake May would have instinctively known to do, by the way. And he was out there doing it. So I see calls lining up already. You guys are getting ahead of yourself. Listen, as a famous man once said, we have a show to do today. Okay? There is a show today that we have to do. The Patriots just won. There's the biggest upset in 10 years in week one. It was a game no one expected, except for Stiz. No one expected them to win, and we are here to do the show today. And I feel like even if it wasn't just a daily show, if this was a show we did once a week, I would still feel like this is a significant day for the Patriots. It feels significant. It feels like something happened here.
Something did happen.
Yeah.
You laid a foundation. Now, I don't know what it's going to lead to. Like, we're doing the show today after a game one victory on the road. They may get smoked by Seattle. No idea.
They
That's
might.
Down the pike. But I also think there's a benefit to Gerard Mayo, because if they had started the year the way some of us expected, 0-1, 0-2, pressure builds, things go south. Like, there's just a negativity, a black cloud that hovers over Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, Jacoby Brissett, the questions about, you know, other than Wiggy, the questions are going to be quiet for a little bit about Jacoby Brissett and Drake May.
Can't silence Wiggy there.
No, you can't. And I give him credit. Consistency is key, and he's consistent.
Yeah,
I love that about
was.
Him.
I heard that. That's why Mayo was trying to shut him down. He kept going. He kept pushing through.
But I give them credit for that. Like, that matters. And I have and I give Gerard credit. When he kept saying it's one game, he kind of like, it was like he called himself stoic yesterday. But then today it was like, got a little ahead. We're going to run the ball, and you got to stop us. So he's getting a little – and then he's like, but it's only one game.
Yep.
Like, he reined himself back in, almost like reeling himself from going too far. But there is absolutely value in this for everybody. Gerard Mayo, Jacoby Brissett, Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington, Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft.
He named the whole Kraft family in that clip.
And he should.
I don't even know who Danny Kraft was. Whoever, okay.
You don't know Dan Kraft?
I don't know Dan Kraft.
He's also the
Wasn't
greatest
familiar
Kraft.
With Dan Kraft.
Tufts jumbo alum like myself.
Okay, all right.
He's what we call the great Kraft.
I haven't met him. I think that's probably why. If I met him, I'd remember. But
he's a good dude.
He sounds like a great guy. I mean, Gerard was speaking glowingly of him.
As he should. But, you know, people were questioning Robert Kraft's decision, correct?
Yes.
Coming off of...
people.
Well, a lot of people were. I wasn't. I'm not one of those. I don't do the people thing if I'm included. Like, when I asked Jacoby Brissett later if they used the outside noise, I'm going to say some of us idiots... said you were going to struggle to win one or two games.
I'm a many people are saying type of person.
Okay. Well, and I will do that if I'm not included in the people. But if I'm included, I'm going to say it. But people were questioning, wait, you picked your coach 5 years ago in Israel? Why? He hadn't coached a game yet. And well, this summer, he hasn't been great leading this team at times this spring and summer. That's been gone the last week. That's the other thing that has been consistent from last I guess it was last Tuesday on the Greg Hill Show? Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was.
I think it was Tuesday. Because of the holiday.
Yeah. Through this week, I think Gerard Mayo, the media guy, has done a much better job. I think the messaging has been streamlined. It's been more it's not perfect. You know, I know some people didn't love, we're going to run the ball and you got to stop us. Okay, do you like nothing? Because that's Dan Campbell-esque.
I enjoyed that.
And it seemed, I do too.
Yeah.
Have some confidence. Trust your guys. He's been right. When he said it was overblown that the offensive line stinks, they didn't lose the game, did they?
No. In fact, I'd say that was the biggest surprise of the game. I think everything about that game was kind of surprising, first of all. I didn't think the defense would be as good as it was. I didn't think Brissett could run like that. I didn't think they'd be as prepared and ready to sort of install what their game plan was and everything. I thought that would all be stuff that the Bengals just blew past them with. I thought it was going to be a blowout yesterday.
And, well, and the very first play, the fact that you got a flag on a kickoff where it looked like one guy had never heard of the rules. Wait, are you saying I can't move? Why can't I move? I already moved.
No, can't move.
So that was an ominous start. That was, I think, falling in line with the narratives that people were selling all summer. Like,
absolutely.
Oh, it's going to be a debacle. And that was debacle-esque. But pretty much from there on, the Patriots did what they needed to do slash wanted to do in some form or fashion. And they won the game.
Absolutely. And I think that offensive line, to me, was the biggest surprise. I expected them to be lining up in the backfield, although it wasn't a hockey league game. I think this is just a hockey league thing because I was watching Red Zone, and they were not throwing flags like that again. Maybe they all got a call from the commissioner
Absolutely.
Or something like that, like, guys, knock it off. It seemed like it was only one ref doing it, but either way, there were barely any penalties. There was one sack. There was a bunch of times where he got pressured, obviously, and he got away
hit.
From it, and he did get hit a few times. But in general, the offensive line in the run game, And generally in the passing game, it wasn't perfect again, but it was so much better than I expected. So much better.
Good enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't. We had seen train wreck. And I'm sorry, Gerard. We had seen train wreck on the game field and on the practice field at various times in July and August. That was not a train wreck.
No.
Well, Chukwuma Okorafor might have been a bit of a train wreck. But you got him out of there, and you put Vidaria low in.
Recognize
and you fix
it quickly.
That.
Absolutely.
Right. Avoid the train wrecks. And they did that in that group. Scott Peters, who I had some questions about the way that line has been coming together. Now you almost look at it and say, I kind of feel good about the center to the right side.
Yes.
And then you get City So back, and you get Vidarian Lowe back. Are we talking ourselves into a competent offensive line? One that went from a debacle to competent pretty quickly?
Yeah, I
now,
think so.
Now, that can blow up again, too. As Coach says, Coach Mayo, one game.
Right.
And we're going to make a lot of... I tweeted out, you know, if you're doing the extrapolate, well, the Patriots are going 17-0. Ramondre Stevenson's rushing the ball 425 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Keon White's going to have 42 and a half sacks.
Yes, so long as he passes a drug test, by the way. Did you see that?
He'll pass it.
Keon White got a anonymous random drug test today. I guess it wasn't. It was a random drug test today that he was posting about on his Instagram after a 2.5 sack day. Keon White, by the way, is my MVP of the season. I said that, and he looked like it yesterday.
You picked him for the MVP of the season?
I did.
Was I listening?
You were.
Did I yell at you?
You shook your head and made a face, but you didn't yell at me.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he was my guy. He was my MVP. I think he'll be the MVP of the year.
If he has 42 and a half sacks, he probably will be. He'll probably be the league MVP.
That might be a record, I think, if that happens. So the narratives obviously are shifting. It's one week in. Do you look at this team differently? Do you have different expectations now?
I still think there are massive bumps in the road. I think there's massive struggles, but this was better an opening performance than I expected. And Gerard Mayo has kept saying, we're going to be better each week. We're going to be better in November. And if that's true, and he continues to coach at a way that reaches his players, that they perform when they need to perform, yeah, I think you have to rotate upward. Like, for example, a very simple thing that I've questioned. People are going to say, you hated on him. No, just questioned it. Christian Gonzalez had only played 4 games. Now he's in a Game 5 matchup where he ran around with Ja'Marr Chase, who... I don't know where his head or his body was at, but whatever, he's Ja'Marr Chase, he's in number one and he's out there.
Yep.
Christian Gonzalez more than held his own in that matchup. If Christian Gonzalez does that and builds on that week to week, they'll shut the saws off in the background. if he does that, he is a good number one corner, and I'll check that box off, and that's something that I feel better about this defense as a whole building on.
Yeah, I think something's going on there. They're building the next wing of the studio, I guess. but yeah, I thought that he was a standout performer. Jonathan Jones, who we're going to talk to, had some big hits in the game as well. We're also going to be speaking with Jacoby Brissett at 3 o'clock, the starting QB who, did about as well as I could have expected. I thought that he went out there and managed the game very, very well and made big throws when he needed to and was just generally looked like every bit the cagey veteran quarterback that this team was advertising him as. So there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Coming up at 2:30, we'll give out some game balls. And since we're doing that early on in the show here, let's get to a call. Barry's in New Bedford who wants to be a big turd in the punch bowl.
Oh.
Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, guys, I'm not a turd in the punch bowl, but first off, do they realize that Cincinnati lost to Cleveland last year 24-3? It's kind of like nature, the 4 seasons where they don't play well. I mean, I've never seen a team drop a touchdown pass and then fumble it on the same drive.
That was pretty impressive, Barry, I'll give you that. But how'd the Patriots do last year? Come on.
And how'd the Browns do? The Browns were a playoff team.
That too.
Think about those guys. They did what I knew they were going to do. Shorten the game, make it a rock fight, and keep the score in the 20. But I can tell you, watching their passing game, I've seen high schools with better passing attacks than the Patriots. This is going to be this is what they are going to be all year. Shorten the game, turn it into a field goal rock fight game. They have a chance to win the game. If any team plays them, scores 21 or 24 points, they're not winning the game because they can't throw the football. How many times do they have 6 offensive linemen in the game to protect the quarterback?
I felt like when they had the 6 offensive linemen, it was to run the ball. But thanks for the call, Barry. Appreciate it.
So you're angry that they had a game plan, executed it, and played a game on their terms.
Yeah, I mean,
like, why would you be angry about that?
On the road against the high-powered offense that you held to 10 points. I mean, listen, the offense didn't look amazing or anything. I thought Stevenson was much better than I was expecting him to look against the tough front there. And the passing game was fine. It wasn't great. 120 yards. I mean, that's nothing to write home about.
I'm not sure it was even fine, but it was
winnable. Did you look around the NFL? I mean, did you see some of these other games? Like, it wasn't like there was a lot of guys putting on shows yesterday. You didn't really see a whole lot of that.
Anthony Richardson did.
Well,
that throw.
Okay, that was one nice throw, but in general, I think you looked around.
No, I actually saw a lot of quarterbacks running for touchdowns.
Yeah.
There were a lot of rushing touchdowns by quarterbacks when I watched that little red zone recap where they show you every touchdown. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. That was one of my takeaways from that.
I love that thing. I love that touchdown montage.
Me too. And I feel like I get up to speed very quickly after watching one game and one postgame show.
It does seem that way. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have open phone lines for you all afternoon here. We are live from Gillette Stadium, and when we come back, we'll have Sunday game balls, offense, defense, maybe even a little wild card as well. But first, here's Tom Carroll to tell you what's trending. Gerard Mayo there on the Greg Hill Show, and also before the game, I believe it was. Maybe it was after the game. And that was interspersed with the Ramondre Stevenson touchdown, the only touchdown the Patriots scored in the game, but it was a big one, as it was all they needed to beat the Cincinnati Bengals on the road week one. We're reacting to that here now. Real quick, before we get to our game balls, any further thing you want to say about the run game and the offense?
Well, actually, about that comment about the run game, because, A, I joked about it, it's not sustainable. No, he cannot have 25 carries a game to get 425 carries throughout the season. He will break, and you don't actually have a backup. You have a change of pace in Antonio Gibson. So that is not sustainable. I get the mentality. I would also say, if I'm like Drake May, or let's just pretend, A, I'm Drake May. Mm-hmm. Wait, we're always going to run first? Like, I was the third pick in the draft. I kind of like to throw the ball. Or if I'm, I don't know.
Wait till you get on the field there, buddy.
True.
Worry about that then.
How about other people? And I'm admittedly and intentionally blowing this up.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're T. Higgins? Oh, you guys are always going to be run first? Cross them off the list then. I don't want to go to New England. Or you're Brandon Ayuk. Or my dream of Garrett Wilson. You guys are always going to be run first? Why would I want to go there? If three teams are offering $150 million, I'll go to the teams that tell me I'm going to get the Randy ratio and I'll get 10 touches a game. So I know it's bravado.
It's fair.
I praised it in the first segment, and I do like it. I'm an old school hardo. I like fullbacks. Biggest James Devlin fan you'll ever find. And I like teams that say they're going to run the ball and then run it to set up the pass.
Were you one of Moisey's Mooses back in the day?
No, that was gimmicky. That was gimmicky. That was gimmicky. Devlin was a legit fullback. He was Sony Michel, follow me to the end zone, follow me to a Super Bowl kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder, do you think he believes that? Are they always going to be run first?
This year, yes.
He said always. Oh, you think he
means, I think he means this season. I don't think he means the entire time he's ever coaching the team. I think this season he's talking about, and I think he'll probably stick to that.
So next year,
probably out of necessity,
when Drake May drops back and Will Campbell is protecting his blind side and T. Higgins is running down the field, they're going to throw the ball.
Yeah. He also said this morning that we're going to be run first. We'll always be run first. But if they stop it, we have a backup play. Like, we will be able to counter that, which isn't as inspiring as we're always going to run it down your throat and you got to stop it. It's like, and we also have a backup plan. Like, okay. But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound like they're so married to it that they're not ever going to go away from it if it's not working.
And I will say, some of the best offenses in football are run first, but they seem pass first.
Right.
Miami always runs for a ton of yards. San Francisco always runs for a ton of yards. They also throw for a ton of yards and make a lot of plays because they marry them together to put up whatever 450 or 500 yards of offense a game.
All right, speaking of offense, it is time for Sunday game balls. There we go. All right. We have three game balls to give out. We'll go offense, defense, and one wild card. Tom Carroll, you want to get us started here?
Yeah, I'll kick things off here.
All right.
I'm going with Jacoby Brissett. I know quarterback is always the popular pick, and he didn't have a wild game, right? But 15 for 24 for 121 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, sacked one time, QBR of 82.4, and he did enough, right? He was escaping the sacks that were coming at him. Trey Hendrickson was doing his thing. He was forcing Chukwuma Okorafor to be benched, and Jacoby Brissett didn't get sacked, which is, you know, kudos to him. So,
and he got up when he got hit hard.
Yeah.
There was a couple times
it was
like, he was
taking some beatings, man.
We're going to see Drake May? Should we get Drake May loose?
There was one time when he was walking off to the sidelines and I thought, oh, we're getting May that next series.
I ain't saying he's a gangster, but he was walking with a limp.
He
came back in there.
QB ratings. Not passer rating. QB ratings for the first week. Josh Allen, number one. Anthony Richardson, number two. Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, number six. Jacoby Brissett. sixth in the NFL. He had the sixth best QB rating out of anybody. Passer rating, not so much, but QB rating was right up there.
QBR and that running aspect of it and making plays, not making mistakes. Hunter Henry, thank you for making sure I didn't make a mistake.
That's true. Yeah, that helps.
It felt like a mistake. But yeah, no, he deserves it. What did Gerard say? It's about Jacoby Brissett.
Yep. All right, game ball on offense, Hart.
I got to go with the obvious one here. A guy carried the ball 25 times for 120 yards. I saw the PFF numbers, which backed up the eyeball test. I said it yesterday with Fitzy. He's got to lead the league in yards after contact, broken tackles. And he had 118 of 120 yards after contact. Your guy, Ramondre Stevenson, extension, centerpiece of the offense. We wondered, didn't always look good in the summer, despite what Gerard Mayo's been trying to tell us, but his first step toward being the Nick Chubb of the Patriots version of the Alex Van Pelt offense was very successful.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vedarian Lowe. I think you guys both had good ones there, but I'm going to go with him. I think that, you know, there was some good pass catching going on, obviously. No one really stood out that much. I think Hooper had the most yards, which was on like two catches.
Yep.
I think the most receptions was three, and a couple of guys, Stevenson, and I forget who else, KJ Osborne maybe, with the most receptions. So I don't think anybody really stood out there. But as far as that offensive line is concerned, you made a change. You brought in a guy who was not at 100%, and I thought he did a bang-up job. I'd say the right side of the line was probably a little more effective, but in terms of who gets a game ball, who had to step up more, I don't think anybody had to step up more than Vedarian Lowe did, and I thought he did a fine job out there. And I also feel a little bad because we've been dumping on the guy for, I don't know, basically the entire camp.
Yep.
So there you go. All right, who was your defensive game ball?
I'm going with Kyle Duggar here. Kyle Duggar had a really, really nice sequence in the first half where he punched the ball out and he forced the fumble at the goal line. And he was also the guy that broke up that touchdown where Gesicki, they thought he caught it and then he didn't.
Yep.
It's because Kyle Duggar threw his hands in there and made the play. So
we'll that, go with that.
Incredible sequence there. Well, you know, also Gesicki dropped the ball. But if you look at the replay in slow-mo, Duggar got his hand in there and made a play.
He did.
So I'm giving Duggar a game ball for that. And he's kind of my representative for the secondary in general in that game. You know, Jamar Chase, sick or not, didn't really do anything. So let's go with Duggar.
Oh, yeah.
Who you got?
So I'm going to go with the obvious one again.
Mm-hmm.
Keon White was a beast.
Stealing.
Well, I got to be honest.
That's my MVP.
He is your MVP, but I was the first person to say he was good.
Okay.
I did it in the spring. You can check this. Six Rings Pod a week before Gerard Mayo was asked somebody who stood out.
Oh, you got time stamps.
I got receipts. I have absolute receipts on this. I was like, Keon White looks like he's ready to kick ass, take names. And he did a press conference where I was like, dude is locked in. Dude wants to be something. And dude was something in week one. That combination of Willie McGinnis, Dietrich Wise kind of versatility, badassness. And those matchups. Inside?
He put Trent Brown on his ass like a couple of times.
That's because he's...
That's not easy to do.
Sometimes it is.
I mean, yeah,
Trent Brown, sometimes it doesn't really give
Keon
a rat's
White's
ass.
Massive.
He's jacked. He's mean. He's physical.
Fast.
He can get the edge matchups. I think the better matchups are on the inside. It looks like DeMarcus Covington's going to move him around. They had him standing like just over the center basically saying, there's a badass coming. Which one of you is going to try to block me? You ain't going to do it. So give me Keon White. Breakout season started with a breakout game.
All right, I'm going to go with Christian Gonzalez. He had a great game defensively against Jamar Chase. Whether or not Chase was concerned about his contract or dealing with an illness, I don't care. He just put another pelt up on the wall there for Gonzalez next to Tyreek Hill and Garrett Wilson and all the other guys that he shut down in his very young career. I'd add Chase to that list as well. All right.
Can I add just a real quick honorable mention?
Absolutely.
All gave our balls out. But
it's like half a ball.
Our game balls out. A Stiz Grimy ball. I'm going to say one for Stiz. I thought Jawan Bentley was really good. Your middle linebacker, your captain, your leader, your leading tackler in this game. 12 tackles, 7 solos, half a sack. Like, that guy, if you want to say who has evolved the most over his career in New England, Jawan Bentley is pretty high on that list. I was dubious of what he was going to be as your middle linebacker. He's a good player.
He doesn't come off the field.
He does not, and you need him to be what he is, the centerpiece of that defense.
All right, we have one wild card game ball to give out here. Tom, what do you got?
I got AVP. Alex Van Pelt, the guy who has been taking a lot of crap throughout the training camp. Oh, who is this guy? He's never called anything. And blah, blah, blah. What does he know?
Look, why are you quoting me?
He did a great job on Sunday. He found a game plan that worked for that game, and they stuck to it. And they didn't press when it was down the stretch there. They ran out the clock. Look, I know Ramondre was dodge, duck, dip, diving, and dodging back there behind the line of scrimmage, and Jacoby was having to avoid some sacks, right? But personnel-wise, look, he got Okorafor out of the game when he needed to, and they stuck with a game plan that worked. So AVP, through 1 week, I like him.
So I'm going to go with the guy that actually got a game ball, Jerod Mayo, the head coach. He deserved the game ball. He took everything that was thrown his way with a smile from January straight through. I think he learned some lessons. I do think he's tightened up some of his messaging and quotes and comments. He's also himself. Like, I thought it was really interesting, the Greg Hill show, when Greg was like, apologize, sorry for mocking you on those virtual sprints. And Mayo's like, I don't care. I'm going to be me. And by the way, me is 1-0 as a head coach in the NFL. Enjoy it, because it might get harder moving down the road. But for all the questions that came, the mocking, the post-Belichick silo teardowns, the mural, all the things we've kind of mocked and or questioned, guys want
to
know.
All right, my wild card game ball goes to Cincinnati Bengals rookie punter Ryan Rico.
Beast.
That was unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen anybody kick a ball like that ever before in my life. That looked like that Gatorade commercial. Remember when Michael Vick was throwing the ball out of the stadium? It looked like CGI.
Yep,
that was incredible. The Stormin' Mormon himself. I don't know if he's Mormon. He went to BYU. I don't know for sure if he's Mormon. But anyway, Ryan Rico, that was amazing.
And at times,
he was the MVP of that team.
Like, he had a touchback where I didn't think a touchback was even in play, but he kicked it so far that it went into the end zone.
He kicked it 95 yards.
Yeah, yeah, he had an 80-yard punt that he wishes was 79.
Right.
It just went over.
And I know they kind of talked about that in the broadcast. Like, that's kind of the problem with him. He doesn't really have any touch. They're trying to work on that. But I'd much rather teach him touch. I feel like we can rein that in a little bit.
You can't teach 80 yards.
Right. That was Anthony Richardson-esque. That boot.
Yeah.
There's only a few people on the planet that can kick a football that far. And maybe not even a few, because I'm like you, Arcand. I don't know that I've ever seen it.
I've never seen anything like that
the
before.
Anthony Richardson of punters.
That was amazing.
Yeah, because it wasn't like the Romanian roll we used to get with Zoltan Mesko, where you'd pick up 20 yards on the roll. No. This was just fun. If he was in Dallas, I think every kick would hit the scoreboard. They'd have to change something.
Imagine if he was in Denver.
He wouldn't be out of the stadium.
Be gone. All right, there you go. Those are our game balls, our Sunday game balls. We'll do this every Monday on a Patriots Monday. And certainly after a win. Maybe we'll change it to something else after they lose. Hard to give out game balls if they lose. But so far, they're 1-0. 17-0 on the table. Unfortunately, 0-17 is not. All right, when we come back, a game ball was given out to Elliot Wolf. Jerod Mayo gave him a game ball, and we'll talk about the collaborative approach that the new-look Patriots have when we come back. All right, there you go, Jerod Mayo. Giving out game balls after getting game balls. He got one from Kraft, gave one to Elliot Wolf, and did it as a symbol of the new collaborative Pats. I think that's really what you're seeing here. He wanted everyone to know that this guy is taking a lot of slings and arrows as well for this roster that you guys are all a part of. He's saying to his locker room, and he's just as big of a part of this win as anybody else is.
So, because I'm confused. I saw a lot of this going on social media. As you might understand, my social media was pretty active yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot going on.
Brag.
But I when you predict 0-17, I didn't actually predict it. I said it was in play.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer in play, as luck would have it. But, no, I saw a lot of, like, back and forth about the roster. And I think in the broadcast they said 28 new players on this team, something like that.
Yeah.
And is this Elliot Wolf's roster or Bill Belichick's roster still?
I mean, in many ways, still Bill Belichick's roster, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Bill won with Pete Carroll and Bill Parcells' roster.
Certainly, yes.
And, you know, Craig Breslow was trying to win with Dave Dombrowski's roster, right? Like, isn't that how it works?
Yes.
Like, there's a core, there's a certain percentage, and you make decisions. They made a bunch of decisions to retain some of their core, not star players, but foundational talent. Like, he didn't have to.
Right.
Weren't they pretty good yesterday, some of those guys?
Definitely.
I believe you gave Kyle Duggar, or somebody gave Kyle Duggar
a game
ball. That
would be TC who gave him
I believe I gave Ramondre Stevenson a game ball.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Ramondre Stevenson was successful running behind Mike Onwenu at times. There were some of those guys, Jabril Peppers.
I gave Christian Gonzalez a game ball. He was drafted by Bill.
Yeah, no, I was making the other point.
What?
That they chose to keep some of the core players that are core players, and it's a good thing. If you didn't
I thought we were just talking about Bill players in general.
No. But the point is, if you didn't have Ramondre Stevenson and Kyle Duggar and Mike Onwenu, like, he could have been like, no, all Bill's guys suck. I'm putting my own stamp on this roster.
Sure.
No, he didn't, because he knows some of those guys are pretty good. He has to add to him. His roster will continue to evolve. And the rookies, I'm not going to say it was the best of debuts for a lot of the rookies right now. Drake May didn't play. Jalen Polk was sort of irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really do
had
anything.
Had a couple catches, I think.
I think he had one.
One? All right.
Look at you.
I remember
optimistic, one. Multiplying it by a couple. I'll throw a couple out
there. All right,
there.
Fine. I thought he had two. He had one. It was close.
Well, they didn't really have anybody that had many catches.
No.
And in part because K.J. Osborne dropped a couple, but I'm not going to do that.
That's
We're
true.
Positive today. We're staying positive.
Polk, zero drops, one target, one catch.
It's efficiency.
It is.
Can't get much more
efficient. What else could you ask for?
Okay.
Maybe two catches or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
If he's going to be a breakout second-round receiver and going to be a stud, yeah, I would like him to have more than one catch. I would like that. But week one, we're building. They didn't chuck the ball over the field, so it's not like he had a ton of opportunities.
Right.
He threw the ball 24 times, and you threw it to running backs, tight ends. He kind of kept it conservative, which was smart, because conservative, as the caller brought up earlier, conservative was all you needed to win this game. You didn't have to chuck it all over the field. I'm not saying they can if they need to, but I'm saying they didn't have to.
Yeah. All right. It's time now for our weekly look at football's league leaders and who's circling the drain. Presented by James Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Who's circling the drain, Andy?
I'm going to say this, even though I think it's unfair. Tom Brady's broadcast career may be circling the drain. I loved the commercial that Fox put out for him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very funny.
It was a good commercial.
And I didn't get to watch the bulk of the game yesterday because I was doing the post-game show with Fitzy. Saw some of the highlights or lowlights. He's not very good right now. I don't know if he'll get better. There's a chance. History tells us he won't, and you know why? Because great players are not great color commentators.
Yeah.
They don't do it. Joe Montana tried it. Jerry Rice tried it. Like, a lot of these guys in football and in other sports try it, and they're just not good at it for whatever reason. I don't know what the tie-in between greatness on the field and inability in the broadcast booth is, but it generally doesn't work. I don't know if he's cut out for it. I don't know if he wants to do it. He has some of the restrictions in terms of the meetings. We've been over that. And he's got to be careful complaining about the
refs. I
feel
like that's not going to help him get better. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to get so much better. It's like, yeah, if he can't discuss certain topics,
right.
Are you sure about that?
And he can't go to practice
right.
And tell little anecdotal stories about, I was at practice hanging out with so-and-so and watching this and seeing this. Yeah, I think he's swimming uphill. And remember Jason Witten?
Yes.
He was anointed. He was put right on Monday Night Football, and it was a disaster. And they pulled the plug on it. And he was fine. He wasn't good at it. So, I think Tom Brady's broadcast career as a color commentator, maybe he can find a different niche. But it might be circling the drain.
Yeah, may not be going too great. And I saw a lot of people say, well, it was his first time. A lot of other ex-football players have had their first broadcast not sound like that. You know, like there's a lot of them who just sort of transitioned into it.
Yeah.
And they were fine. You know, they didn't maybe stand out as tremendous or anything. Even Greg Olson, like at first, he had to get a little better, but he didn't start off as low as Brady started. Brady, that was a bad start.
And
for
you
him.
Know what I think? And after reportedly he's done somewhere between 20 and 50 practice games.
Yeah.
So he's been doing this. He's been working at it.
Surrounded
really
by people being like, great job, Tom. Hey, you really
right.
Nailed it that time, buddy.
Which may be, paralysis analysis or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's prepared too much. But I'd also say, I think Tom Brady cares what people think about him.
I think that, too.
And if you want to do that job, this job, any job, if you care too much about what people think, you can't be honest, right? You can't give your true opinions, and I think he may care too much what people think, and that may hinder his broadcast career.
All right, leading the league, I'm going to go with the American Football Conference Eastern Division, the AFC East, undefeated, and not only were they undefeated, three impressive wins. The Dolphins were down 17-0. The Bills were down 17-3, I think it was, to the Arizona Cardinals, who, what a collapse that was. Marvin Harrison wide open down the sideline. Don't even look at him. And the Dolphins, which I think we all sort of expected Hill to go off at some point after what he went through before the game started. But the AFC East, the only undefeated division. That may change tonight when the Jets play the Niners. But as of right now, they are leading the league. So go AFC East. All right, coming up next, we will be joined in studio by the winning quarterback, the starting quarterback for your New England Patriots, Jacoby Brissett, who was very emotional after the game, and even before the game he was talking about. We'll get his take on the victory and everything that went with it right after this.